Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, Sunday morning, June 19th. Yecheskel's commentary on Shmos and Vayikra, how Chumash explains Nevi'im, and how Nevi'im explain Chumash.
Okay, Boker Tov. Everyone should have a Chumash card and pass these around. And based on the title of the shir, everyone needs a Chumash and a Nach. Now, if you don't have a full Nach, we can survive as long as you have there's that source sheet that has the main chapter we're studying, Perachaf and Yecheskel. But if you have a full Tanakh, it's even better.
So we have a full Tanakh. Yeah. You don't need a chumash.
No. You still need a chumash.
Somebody's bringing.
You always need a chumash. If you don't have a Tanakh, then yeah, take one of someone who has a. The printout is nothing special. It's simply Perachaf. So if you have a Tanakh, you don't need the printout. I'm going to explain the title, and then we'll get to work. The problem, in general, we've been going through Nevi'im the last couple of years. We just started with Yirmiyahu. We did Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel for sure, and I think even Malachi beforehand. The problem is,
yeah.
There's about 10 people here like every time, and then there's people coming in and out. And I can't do something based on the last year, because it's not there. But if I repeat one thing, I'll get yelled at for the previous year. So I picked a topic that stands alone. It'll tie into what we did before Yecheskel, but it stands alone today, and that's why the title is how details in the Nevi'im Achronim, especially in Yecheskel that we're learning, can help enlighten us on what's happening in Chumash, and later on how Chumash can help us understand what's happening in Nevi'im. So the parak we're going to do today is Perachaf in Yecheskel. And I want to bring, before we do Perachaf in Yecheskel, which will be,
I'll get you.
Okay, yeah, okay. Oh, there's down there. There's a really seat over there. And there's one extra. Before we do Perachaf, I want to bring one short example, which we're not going to study today, just to give you a taste of how a pasuk in Yecheskel can help enlighten us on what's happening in Chumash. Again, it won't be our topic, but this is just an example. Open up Yecheskel Perek Tet Zayin. The end of the parak pasuk memchet. In Yecheskel Tet Zayin, the Navi has to explain why God's punishing Yerushalayim, why the city deserves to be destroyed and the people exiled, and he's comparing them to how bad they are. And the benchmark is going to be a story in Chumash, a story of Sodom. And he talks about how bad you've been, and he says you guys are worse than Sodom, your cousin. Look in Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Memchet. This is the wrong one. Okay. Tet Zayin Memchet. He says, Chai Ani Num Hashem. That's why he swears in God's name. Im Asta Sodom Achotech, Hi Uvnoteha, Kasher Asit, At Uvnoteich. Sodom, your cousin. Remember, Achot can mean brother, Achot can also mean cousin. Or even relative. Or even like in... like my brother, like Achshadi in modern day Hebrew, Achshadi means my friend. Acquaintance. But here it means a family acquaintance. Remember, a Chatan is an in-law that we discussed once. And therefore, an Ach is a relative, a blood relative, and Chatan is a relative through marriage. Okay. So, again, Pasik Memchet, Chayani Num Hashem, Imastas Tomachotech, Hiyu Venotech, Kasher Asit, Atu Venotech. Your sins in Yerushalayim are worse than what they did back in Sodom. Now, in case it wasn't clear what was the sin of Sodom, and it's not so clear in Chumash what's the sin of Sodom, what's it say next? Hinei zeh haya avon Sodom achrotech. The Navi clarifies what was the sin of Sodom. Now, if you ask anybody what was so bad about Sodom, what's the classic answer people will tell you? There's a word in English named after the sin of Sodom.
Sodom.
That's where the name comes from. But there's a big argument between Rashi and Ramban. What was so bad about the men of Sodom? Did they want the men to sleep with them? Or did they want the men to kick them out because there's no Achnes HaTochim? Because there's a law in Sodom, no guests allowed. A big argument among the commentators. And of course Ramban's going to bring this pasuk from Yecheskel as his proof. What does he say here? What was the sin of Sodom? Go'on tzibat lachem. It was a place prosperous, full of bread, because the big water source was there. V'shavat hashkeit haya lo v'notea. Nice and quiet, like a country club. Great setting, perfect for a hotel. And despite all that prosperity, v'yad ani v'avion lo yichzika. What did they do? They couldn't care less about the poor and the needy. According to Yechezkel, that's a sin of stone. He has a good proof from Yishayel, because Yishayel also, in Perek Aleph, everyone knows, v'stameinu k'mar diminu, and that's the whole thing there. It's a lack of kindness. In fact, all through Nevi'im, almost every major Nevi, of Nevi'im Achronim, like Yishayel, Yechezkel, all stone, always in the context of tzedek chabrati, in the context of social justice, never once is stone mentioned in the context of anything that has to do with Arayot, or Wasadmi, or anything like that. Which is mind-boggling when you look at it. It sounds like a technique, yeah?
In Avos Rabbi Nassan, he parishes Oy Shalom, Hamid of Shalara, he focuses on the Bin Alam Machaber much more than the Arayos.
Yeah, for sure, and also in Pirkei Avot. Shali Shali Shalcha Shalcha is Minak Stone. And therefore, that supports Ramban's approach. Now, this could be a whole topic, which we're not going to do. All I want to show you is here is a pasuk in Yechezkel can help explain a whole section in Chumash. So that was just one example. Now we're going to start for our example. Just a quick review of what's happening in Yechezkel. For those who aren't familiar with the book, the first 24 prakim of Yechezkel is his tochacha, his rebuke of the nation, explaining why Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. It's taking place after the exile of Yehoiachin. And during those 11 years between the exile of Yehoiachin and the Korban of Yerushalayim, in the 11th year of Tzidkiel, that's when Yechezkel, who went with the exile, the first wave of exile, to Babel, before Yerushalayim is destroyed, he's explaining to the people in Babel why Yerushalayim is about to be destroyed. We spent an entire share last time explaining why the years, the specific years that Yechezkel gives his nevuah, year 5, 6, and 7 of their exile, why those are the specific years that he gives his message. And that we explain, it's exactly those years when the false prophets in Yerushalayim and the false prophets in Babel, I mean, God's false prophets, prophets of God, what we call established rabbinate, is telling the people, within 2 years' time, the worst is over, the Babylonians are going to fall, and all the exiles coming back. And they had these great hopes of Mashiach's around the corner. The false prophets were so sure they were right. They wanted to kill Yirmiyahu, and they were promising the people that the worst is over, and the Kelim of the Beit HaMikdash are going to return, and the Jews who were exiled are going to return, and there won't be a Korban. It's exactly those years that Yechezkel has this vision that the Shekhinah is leaving Yerushalayim and going to Babel. It's not by chance year 5, 6, and 7 are the main Nevuot, but it's because he has to counter the works of the message of the false prophets. That we did, I'm pretty sure that was this year. That must have been. Now, we studied the prophecy of year 5 and year 6. Year 5, the opening Nevuah, the first seven chapters. He talks about the Shekhinah moving. That's the Masim Merkabah. Not just he sees a vision of God, but he sees movement. He sees the Merkabah showing God's moving. He's not going back to heaven, but he's leaving and landing in Babel. And then in his Disney ride, in chapter 8 through 20, which we saw most of it, 8 through 19, you said we did that shit, right?
Yes.
I thought that was today, but they tell me we did that. He has a whole Disney ride to Yerushalayim, a virtual tour. He sees what's going on, and through that virtual tour, he explains why God's destroying the city, and he goes from the 10 Galuyot, where the Shekhinah leaves, step by step. It's all taken from that section. Now it's the next year. It's year 20. And again, we find a classic setting that we found in chapter 8. How does Yechezkel give his nevuah? The elders of the exile are sitting in front of him. So let's begin with Perachaf. You have it on the big page with the big letters. If you want to see what the big letters better in your Tanakh. The print I have simply to put a couple highlights. It's the seventh year again, seventh year since the exile of Tzidkiel. What day is that? The fifth month, the tenth day. What day is that in the Jewish calendar?
The tenth of Av,
which is in Tanakh, that's the day of Korban Habayit. Remember, Tisha B'Av in Tanakh is either the 7th of Av or the 10th of Av, between Yirmiyahu and Malachim. Is either the 10th of Av or the 7th of Av. Remember, 9th of Av is sort of a middle ground because of Chet HaMeraglim. It's pretty much 4 years before the Korban, 4 days before the Korban. Bo'u anashim yizignei Yisrael lidrosh et Hashem v'yeshvu lefanai. Elders of Yisrael came to do what? What's it mean, lidrosh et Hashem? Is that something good or bad?
Pray.
Does it mean to pray?
Well, most rabbis do that.
Well,
to find out what her.
The first time we had Rivka. Right? But based on the answer, what did she want to know?
She's upset.
But it's neutral.
It's not always the same, it depends on the context. But what's it mean there, Lidrosh et Hashem? She wants to know what's going to be. For example, the Doresh Elamitim and that whole list of people. Something Kranzers, what are they called? Kranzler or Kranzers? Necromancers. The Ovidid Oni guys, what are they doing? They're Doresh. Why do people go to them? They want to know when Mashiach's coming. They want to know. They wonder what's going to happen, what's going to be. What happens all the time, people have this need to find out what's going to happen, and they think that everything is predetermined. But if you have someone who can look at your palms, or you can read your eyeballs, or you can look into something, right? You can know what's going to happen in the future if you look at the stars. People love thinking things are predetermined, and I have a head start on what's going on. But there's certain people with special ability to know the future. And then what happens is interesting. The same people who first everyone thought they know what's going to happen, if they know what's going to happen, what else can maybe they do? They can also have an effect of what's going to happen. Every movie goes like that way. The people who can see the future, isn't Matrix had that? Or not? They got the movie wrong. Didn't understand the movie. Is it the Oracle then?
We don't watch movies.
Okay.
This crowd doesn't like space.
Okay. I think the oracle there has that they want to know what's going to be, but the question is, can the same oracle can not only know what's going to happen, if you talk to them enough, maybe they can affect what's going to happen. These elders are going to Yechezkel in the seventh year, because what are they hoping for? According to all the Nevi'im, that this is the year, this is the big year, that they're all coming back. And this year the Babel is going to fall, and the worst is over. What do they want? Either they want to know what's going to be, or they want Yechezkel maybe to pray for them. But they're going to Drosh, they go to Navi to find out what's going to happen, or possibly ask Yechezkel to pray for them to make things better, to make it work. So that's the question. Vayidbar Hashem elayhi l'amor, Ben Adam, Yechezkel is always called Ben Adam, Daberu zikne Yisrael v'amart elehem, kol amar Hashem, hadidrosh oti atem bayim? A good Jewish answer? You're coming to do what? What's the Drosh oti mean? You're coming to ask from me, either to pray to me or to ask me what's going to be. Chayani, God swears, imi daresh lachem. Now the classic way of understanding this is, he's saying, I won't. He's swearing, I won't come and help you. I won't answer you. Or it could be, another way to look at it is like JFK. You're coming to ask me what, you're not coming to ask what God can do for you. What's God swearing? Tell them what you can do for me. I'm going to daresh from you. Instead of that's more of a drush in the pasuk, because later we'll see it's not pshat. That's a nice drush on the word the drush. Nu Hashem, okay. Hatishpot otam, but here fits in. Hatishpot ben adam betovat avotam odin. Instead of giving them news of sorah, of redemption of something, instead of giving them good news, what do you do? What's it mean lishpot otam? What do you mean to judge them?
To decide what their fate is?
When you judge, remember Shmuel, before he anoints Shaul as king? He says, it means to be judgmental. By in Shmuel and Mitzvah. Remember the last line there? Shmuel judges the people in Mitzvah. When a Nabi judges the people, it means giving him a Musar. Being judgmental, look how bad you've been, and look how much God's done for you, and look how bad you've been to me. Take a look later in Shmuel, Aleph Perek Yud Bet. That's the Haftarah from, what Haftarah is that? From Korach. Next week, isn't it this week's Haftarah? Yeah. So this Shabbos, you'll see it inside, in Pasuk Vav and Zayin. He says, Hashem, from the time you left Egypt, how God has always been good to you and you haven't reciprocated. So God's going to say, tell Yechezkel, go and judge him. And now we're going to get to our key topic. What does he tell them? V'amarta lehem, kol amar Hashem. He's going to go and be judgmental of them. He's going to tell them it's just not one event or one thing you've done wrong. It's a set of events that's happening over and over again. It's not a one-time offense. It's a pattern already. Since when? Since you left Egypt. The Navi has to explain why isn't God using the classic Midah Rachamim. It makes sense. We know God's merciful. And when we sin, we pray to God, He should answer. But there's a limit if we constantly pray to God when we're about to be punished, about to be exiled, and God gives rachamim again, and we don't fix our ways, then we discuss this. The worst thing God could do would be to answer the prayers. Because if God always answers the prayers when they cry, when they're in the foxhole and things are bad, but they never listen to the key message of the Nabi, what message are the people going to get from all that? The main thing God wants is prayer. And they won't fix their ways like Yishayahu told them and Yirmiyahu told them. They won't change their society. And therefore, it's because they're so religious and because they're dominating, but they're not fixing their society, God says, I can't listen to your prayers anymore. Yeah, question?
Yeah. In the early strata of Chazal, Halidroshoti would mean to judge me. Like Drisha v'Chakira, you are confrontational, you are inquisiting. In other words, therefore Hashem says, Chayanim idareish lachem. It has nothing to do with prayer or tefillah. It is, I am not going to be put
on an
inquisitor's stand. I mean, I'm going to be judged. Therefore, judgment is the main topic.
The main topic, God's judging them, and the judgment's going to be harsh.
Right.
And but he has to explain
people
why.
To judge God as well.
And they're judging him?
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I mean, Halidrosho Tiatem Baim, are you coming to accuse me?
No, that's a question of accusing him. Are they accusing God? Yeah. We'll see something like that back in Perek Yudchet. Or at the Lidam, maybe even later on here. Because they're going to go worshiping other gods. I think he said later in this parak or in the next one. Or in Chabad, I think. Now, he goes like this. Now we get to the history. He's going to start the history of our bad behavior from the time we left Egypt. And this is going to give us insight of what happens in Chumash. Again, Pasuk Hey. What's that? When did God choose Am Yisrael? That's a rough question because he picked Avot. Right? So what day is it referring to? We'll see soon. But the day that I chose Am Yisrael, we'll see what choosing is going on. What did God do? He lifted up his hand, he stretched out his hand to the offspring of Beit Yaakov. I made myself known to them in Egypt. What's that referring to? Every single word from the beginning of Va'era is going to be here. From Parsha Va'era, which we know by heart, the four cups. We'll see that soon. We're going to read it soon. Okay. Again, I made myself known to them. Who's that referring to? The Avot, remember? But you, I'm going to make myself known. We'll see it soon inside. On the day that I made myself known to them, I lifted up my hand because I wanted to take them out of Egypt. But what happened? I wanted to bring them to the land, which was a beautiful land of flowing in milk and honey. What did I tell them at that time? Together with my decision, I want to redeem you from Egypt and take you out. At the same time, I had a drisha. And that's why I think the word drisha here is a request from God. What was my drisha back then? Ish shikutze inav hashlichu uvegilulei mitzrayim al titamau. What was my request from you before you left Egypt? This is clearly before you left Egypt. In the land of Egypt. No. When I wanted to take you out, I had a very specific request. Before you leave Egypt, each person has to get rid of their shikutzim and gilulim. I'm purposely not translating, because what do those words, both words imply? No, Chazal refers to them as idol worship, but there's something which are disgusting. We detest. Ashkatz. Right? Shakets and shakseno.
Like
and glalim,
so
yeah, gilulim. What? Why is it called avodat gilulim? What's this? It's most commentators say it's excrement, like glalim.
Like
glalim. And it's a lashon gnai about idol worship, which is really neat. It's baal peor kind of worship, because they used to bow down to their own excrement or bodily part, so it would fit in nicely. But there's no doubt he's making fun of the avodah zara. And that word gilulim in Yecheskel, if you look in the Concordantia, there's 48 times, I think, the word in Tanakh, if they counted right. 39 of them, I think, are in Yecheskel. Yecheskel uses the word gilulim a lot. It's one time, it's twice in Chumash. Once in Vayikra, once in Dvarim, and each time will be key. Okay, appreciate your Cheskel. We'll see you soon. So what was the request? To repent before you leave Egypt. And get rid of your ways, your Egyptian ways. Again, Pasuk Zayin again. What's that mean? I'm Hashem. Your God or your boss. Yamruvi, what's that mean? Yamruvi? They rebelled against me. They didn't want to do what? To obey me. To listen. They didn't change their ways. Is and should say in them lo ishlicho, and you let me say lo azavu. The man is poch amatei lehem lachalot api ben betoch eretz Mitzrayim. What did God decide to do? This nation, I wanted to make them worthy of redemption. They didn't repent, and therefore, what should have God done? He should have destroyed us in Egypt. Now we all know tons of midrashim on this, don't we? Remember Memtet Shari Tumah, which is the Zohar. There's no apparent source for that chumash, is there? What other midrashim do you have that reflect this idea that we were supposed to repent before we left Egypt?
Makat
Choshech, what happened? Chamushim, 4/5, the ones who weren't worthy. We didn't bring Korban Pesach. Who remembers by Korban Pesach? Mishchu Uchulechem Selebet Avon? What's Rashi say on the spot? Mishchu? Explaining first day Yom Tov, isn't it? Pasuk Chavala from Derek Yubet. Mishchu Yedechem Yavodah Zarah. But get rid of your avodah zarah. Instead, bring a korban for me. And what korban are we going to bring? Something that the eyes of Egypt they would never bring. How do we know that? Because what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? If we would shech a keves in Egypt, we'd get stoned because this is an abomination in Egypt. And we're going to do something which is anti-Egyptian culture in their face, and we're going to burn it in effigy. Yeah.
Could you elaborate on the Asher Tati Lehem?
Asher Tati Lehem?
Yeah, seems.
Like it's like Lo Taturo?
It sounds like yesterday.
Lo Taturo? Yeah. It looks like God was looking for a land that's just right for them. Eretz Asher Tati Lehem, I'm scouting out a land that's just right for you.
I think martyr to us.
In this week's parsha, back in Shlach, right, what happened? What land, what report did they all come back with? Began Eretz Zavat Chalavi Utrash Vizeh Pirya. The land is good, everyone agrees. Tobahar Smol Nubian Rishon, right there. So he's saying here, God set aside for you a great land. He wants the best for you. He's doing it, but I have one request. I have something good for you. I picked this good land. I mean, God chose this land for us.
Tarti then has the sense of Bechira, not Turing?
Yeah, like to search out a good land. to look for the good. You're looking for something? It looks nice. You're looking for something, what's the word in English? Something
desirable.
Desirable.
Sought out.
I think it's cute though, the words there. Tati fits very nicely with Chaitam Raglin. On a second level, it's referring to Chet. It's similar to Chaitam Raglin. God did something for you and you didn't reciprocate. Why didn't God do that? I didn't do that because of the Chilul Hashem. The same cloud that Moshe Rabbeinu uses in Chet Egel, in Chet Amraglin, we see already before they left Egypt, it would have been Chilul Hashem if God then that punished them in Egypt. Now, take a look, if they have Chumash open now, take a look in Parshat Va'era, and we'll match it up. And we'll see if it fits. Look at the era, and in light of that, we'll re-examine what happens coming out of Egypt. What happened at the end of Parshat Shmot? What were the people? Were the people in Egypt under slavery? Did they request Aliyah? Did they go to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, "We want to get out of here"? What were they crying about? Their tzaka was about oppression. They never asked for Aliyah, all the oppression, very similar to remembering stone. Remember Tzakat Stone Vamraki Rabba? All this, the whole story of stone is parallel to the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. That's the Rashi on Pesach Hayah. The reason why Chumash in the story of Ba'erim uses the word matzah to eat is a flashing light to tell you, compare this story to Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Not telling you what he ate and what date it was. But the rabbis are telling you, there's a parallel all through that story between Yitzhak Mitzrayim and stone. So they also began with the tzaka. Now, Moshe goes and promises redemption. What's he tell them? At the burning bush, God tells them, tell the people, I'm taking that to the promised land. He tells that to the people. They listen to him, they're in big hopes. And what happens? He goes to Paro, says, let my people go. And what happens? He makes it worse. And then he gets himself in a big mess. Everyone, you remember that story. They didn't ask for redemption, they wanted a lighter workload. Moshe promises redemption, and the first time he strikes out big. And instead of making things better, he made things worse. So that's what the Shoftim come and tell him. What kind of mess you got us into? And Moshe wasn't expecting this, and he comes and complains to God. And now you understand why Moshe didn't want to take the job. You understand why he's against it? It's not going to work. What does God tell him? What's God's answer? Look at the last line of Paragvav. Everyone see the first line of Paragvav? The last line of Parashat Shmot? What's God's answer? What's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? There's a reason for this plan. Why things have to get worse before they get better. You'll see what I'm going to do to Paro. You can translate that for me. Well, who's Yad Chazakah is this?
Hashem.
Simple Hebrew. Follow the syntax and follow the grammar. What's God up to? What does God need Paro to do? God needs Paro to kick them out. We call the word nowadays Girush. We need, it says here, I need Paro to expel the people. Why does God need Paro to expel the people?
Because they weren't going to go.
Because if God given them permission to leave,
no thank you.
Maybe a couple, what, 5-10% might have left. Maybe 1/5 might have left. Yes. And that you'll see that all through the story. The main reason why God has to do this whole 3 day in the desert, is to convince Paro to kick them out. Because without Paro kicking them out, they would have never have left.
So you guys are Nathaniel. We're like, when Nathaniel came back, yeah. Very few people have to follow him.
Yeah, that's throughout Jewish history. You can bring historical precedents or
today.
I'm not going to talk about that. Now, God has to explain this to Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the plan? Which he already knows already. Ani Hashem, we're going to see. Remember? Look at the parallel here. We'll see the parallel in 1 second. I didn't make myself known. I talked to him, but I didn't act in a way. I didn't get involved in history and events in a miraculous way like I'm about to do now with Am Yisrael. That's Brit Milan. I made a covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. That's called Briti. That's Brit Ben Aptarim. The way all the commentators explain. God said, I made my covenant with the Avot, and now it's time for me to fulfill it. But because I'm about to fulfill it, Am Yisrael needs to be ready. Lachem. Emor livnei Yisrael mi Hashem. Because of this background, what does Moshe have to tell the people? Tell the people Ani Hashem. What does it mean, tell the people Ani Hashem? That's going to be the biggest question, and we'll see it explained by Yechezkel. When Moshe tells the people Ani Hashem, it means? It's something you have to internalize. It's not something you have to believe in. Believing in God is something behavioral there, not intellectual. It doesn't mean believe in monotheism, like Aristotle. He's saying, Ani Hashem means I'm your boss, or I'm God. Listen to me, which is going to imply Ani Hashem means change your way of life. I'll try it. And based on Yechezke, we can prove it. What's God going to do for you? Then we have the four cups. Otseti, Bitzalti, Begalti. That's coming out of Egypt, isn't it? The first three? The fourth pasuk. V'lakatech nila'am is what event? It's got to be Har Sinai, right? V'lakatech v'yitichem l'Elohim. V'idatem ki ani Hashem okechem. V'motzietchem mitachat tzivot Mitzrayim. That's the first dibur. And the next stage is going to be V'beitetchem l'aretz. Listen to the words now. Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Het. Ve'beitechem el haaretz, asher nasati et yadi. Here we go. Asher nasati et yadi, right from Yechezkel. Letet otah l'Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, v'natat otah lechem morosha, ani Hashem. That's God's word. B'nei Yisrael have to hear this message. Now, it's more than just information. This is something B'nei Yisrael have to be told. Yeah.
So why does he use the name of Hashem and Kel Shakai as opposed to the one with Adon in it? If that's the message that he's trying to get across,
yeah.
Why do you say Ani Hashem?
That's exactly why I say Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem, I'm the God.
Why that specific name?
Yud Kei Vav Kei, because that's the God of Yigdalu, of history. That's pre, that's the God of Brit Ben Abtarim.
Because the point is to make the point that I'm the master, I'm the boss. Then it should have used the
poem that
has
a dominant. No. That's Shem Adut. Shem Adut is Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's why we read it. As opposed to the God who gets involved. Okay. That's the first line of the Ten Commandments. Now, listen to what Moshe does. Pasuk Tet. By Neber Moshe Kena Bnei, so what's that mean? What did Moshe tell the people? The four, what God just told him, Ani Hashem, the five Lashonot of Gula, and Ani Hashem. Followed by, Velo, Shamua Moshe. What's that mean?
They didn't pay attention.
If they didn't hear him, then what should Moshe do?
Talk louder.
Speak louder.
They didn't pay attention.
If they didn't understand him, he should explain. What's Velo Shamua mean here? They didn't obey. Now, I wouldn't understand if I didn't have in Yechezkel, but in Yechezkel it's exactly what it says, isn't it? Take a look now, go back in Yechezkel. Pasuk Vav, in Perchav. Oyom ahu nasati tidi lotzi otam eretz Mitzrayim, el arz zavat chala bedvash. Pasuk Vav, v'omar lehem, ish uchzev ashlichu, v'gam mitzem itam, al tidmahu, ani Hashem elokechem. V'yamru v'ivlo vu lishmo elai. Ish uchzev lo ishlichu, v'gam mitzem lo azavu, v'amad lishmo chamadhi lichem. Got it? That's v'lo shumah Moshe. What's the proof? When they don't listen, means they don't. Moshe wants them to come out of Egypt. Bezchut, be worthy of coming out. They don't obey. Now, Sefer Shmot feels bad for the people because they've been in slavery. So, what excuse do we have? Why didn't we listen? Why didn't we obey? Because the Rabbi, with Akasha, it's understandable. But still, not as much as God expected. Yeah.
What is it that the Jews had to obey? As in, demonstratively, there was really nothing that could have done.
Getting rid of their right?
Yeah. So, what are these Egyptian ways? Save that question for 4 minutes. I was, instead of me asking it, you saved me the time already. But Yechezkel is going to answer that in 3-4 minutes when he's going to relate to something of Vayikra. Look back in Chumash. What's going to happen next? Then God, after all this, what's God tell Moshe to do? God tells Moshe, go back to Paro again. Does Moshe want to do this? Why would Moshe be reluctant to go back to Paro again? The first time he went, he struck out. Why go back again? Are the people ready?
No.
No. So for what reason should he go back to Paro? And Moshe gives his Kal Vachomer. What's he say? Listen to the Chav HaChomer. It's got to make sense. It's got to be equal. What does Paro need to do? To listen or to obey?
To listen.
Not listen like listen to music. He needs to obey. God tells Moshe, go to Paro, command Paro, send my people out of the land. Yeah. That's something Paro has to obey, not listen to. He has to obey. He says, well, why should Paro obey me if Bnei Yisrael don't obey me? That would make sense. But if it's listen or understand, that wouldn't fit in at all. And that proves again, or that supports, that Lishmo means to obey. In Shmot it's unclear, but in Yechezkel, that sheds light on the whole thing. How's that going to explain what's going to happen next? What's Moshe's main job as a leader? What's he need to do? The way they say it in jargon is Moshe's main job is not to take the Jews out of Egypt, but take Egypt out of the Jews. And that's why it's so difficult, and that's why he's so reluctant from the beginning. And that's why he tells God it's not going to work, and I'm not the guy for the job. And we see in Sefer Bamidbar, he was right. I mean, he deserves his last name. What's he known for? Moshe Rabbeinu. But as far as Madrich and leader, in Sefer Bamidbar, it's a failure. It's not a personal failure, but it's an income. He's not compatible with the nation. No. In general, God's goal of taking him out of Egypt is not to get him out of Egypt and not just to bring him to a land. God's goal is to be a nation, to make them a nation representing God. There's no way they can get to the land of Israel until they're ready. And there's no way they can go to Har Sinai. They can't go to Israel before they get to Har Sinai. They can't get to Har Sinai until they're ready. If they're immersed in Egyptian culture, there's no way God can bring them to Har Sinai. I can prove to them that God exists. I can prove to them Ani Hashem, but I can't get to Ani Hashem Elokechem without proper preparation. And that's going to be the rest of Chumash. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's main job, and what's going to explain every single story from here to the end of Hanukkah? Moshe's job is to get ready, Am Yisrael ready for the mission. And it fails. Now before I go any farther, I want to give an analogy to explain why it was bound to fail and why it's not so, but it's not a waste of a generation. Why was it bound to fail? In 2020 hindsight, why was the first generation bound to fail?
Because they weren't.
They were an Am Avadim. It was bound to fail. So why did God try?
Because you have to start somewhere.
I want to bring an example from Windows 3, Windows 7, Windows... Okay. Did anyone ever use Windows 1? Did you?
Android,
1987. If you know manufacturing, if you know startup companies, you have a new, you're developing something. The first prototype is never marketed. Everyone knows that. When you want to develop a product, you make your first product, and everyone with a little bit of experience knows your first product is never going to go on the market. So why do they make it? It's called a beta. You know what betas are? A beta. You make your first knowing it's going to fail. But I learned from my failures on the first, that's how I get to the second. Anyone who knows high tech, that's how things are developed. We're up to an F-35 already when it comes to planes. I don't know if that goes in numbers. Isn't it F-35? F-60? No.
No, it's F-35.
F-35. I guess the numbers are going by, I'm not sure what they base the numbers on. Oh, there's an F-1, isn't there?
Yes.
Okay, maybe it didn't work that way. Maybe it was a D was the... No, F is for fighter and B is for bomber. I remember those. The Russian table means something. Yeah. Back to... Now, let me explain what I'm getting at. Just like... Even though the first generation was bound to fail, I would never get to the second generation if I didn't go through the first generation. Got the idea? It's like a booster stage on a rocket. It's going to drop, but I need it to get the next stage up. And even though the first generation is a failure, there's still value. And that's why in Chumash, most of Chumash is about why the first generation failed, so that we can learn from their mistakes. It's not, oh, God made a bad decision picking that generation. Or it's not that God made a mistake. Or it's not that you shouldn't have tried. There was a need to go through that first, like it was about to happen, like man got made it. The writing was on the wall, but I still need to go through that process to get to the next stage.
It did work for two people, Colin and Yeshua, so it wasn't
a big... Yeah, it wasn't a total failure.
He's got to give him a shot.
Yes, we have to give you a legit shot.
Would you agree that Ashkaf and Bishop that too? He's got to give him a shot, otherwise you're denied the theory.
Yeah. I mean, there was a possibility. The writing's on the wall, but that doesn't mean there's not a possibility. Yeah. I won't bring a bad example. You can be in certain situations, say, this isn't going to work, it's going to fail. Some guy just got hired, say, it will never work. But, and you'll see 5 years later, 100% right, but you had to go through the, there was a chance it couldn't work. Things like that all the time. Now we have to get to, what was your question? That was, oh yeah. What was so bad about Egypt? What were they supposed to do? Look at the next line. Back to Yechezkel now. Back to Yechezkel, keep Chumash open. Oh yeah, one more thing about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, what it explains, because we don't have time to go into it in detail. Moshe Rabbeinu's job is to get them to repent. They don't repent in the beginning. And God has to go prove that he's God with the 10 Makot. After this, there's nothing about, from here on, nothing about Am Yisrael until when? When's the next time after this that God talks to Am Yisrael?
When they're ready to leave.
Parsha HaChodesh. The next call in Am Yisrael to do Shuva is Parsha HaChodesh. After this event, everything got in power. Perb Zayin to Yud Aleph is the 9 Makot. And V'yadu Mitzrayim Ki'ani Hashem. In preparation for the last Makah, what does Am Yisrael need to do? Korban Pesach. Why Korban Pesach? We need to do something to show God we're ready to turn over a new leaf. What do we need to do? We need to do something that shows our rejection of Egyptian culture. Therefore, what do we take? We take an Egyptian god and we burn it in effigy. And we take bread. What bread do we eat?
Bread.
What type of bread? The theme is? What? No, not lechem oni. Anti-Egyptian bread. Look up in any baking book. I'm sure you've heard of that. Egypt was known, they came up with fermentation. They made their biggest contribution to mankind was they invented beer. They were known for chimut. They were known for their bread baking. It makes sense. With all that heat and sun and all that wheat, someone's going to make you sick one time. It's going to get sour. Something's going to happen. It's going to ferment. Like any good experiment in science. And they were known as experts in chimutz. And therefore, if I want to say I'm rejecting Egyptian culture, what do I do with this meal? No chametz. Instead, we eat matzah. And that's and that would explain almost all the details of Korban Pesach, how that gets us ready. Now, the best line is as follows. We weren't ready for redemption, but God took us out of it anyhow. Were we ready to leave? Again, had Paro given permission, you can leave. Again, you can count how many people would have left. Why did we leave Egypt? Because Paro was convinced that if he doesn't kick us out, he's going to die. The reason, the way God got us out of Egypt was by convincing Paro to kick us out. And that's the whole thing with 3 days in the desert. Again, a whole share, but you can, it's easy to prove. We weren't ready to leave, but God had to kick us out. That wasn't ideal, but that's what happened. We have to remember the Exodus, don't we? When we remember the Exodus, we don't remember that it happened. We need to remember that we weren't ready. How do we remember that we weren't ready? What reminds us of our unreadiness? What act reminds us of our unreadiness? What happened? We were so unready to leave that what happened? We had no food ready. We got sedalos to leave. And therefore, we had bread. We weren't ready to leave. And we were stuck with the dough. And because of our unreadiness, we had to be matzah in the desert for the whole time, for the whole week. And therefore, what happens? Okay. Why? Ring a bell, that word? Every Balkari knows. Who is mitmameha? Who didn't want to be saved? Who couldn't leave stone? And had to be pushed out. Remember Pesach? When Rashi says matzo, remember? When Chazal say it was Pesach, I call that, you have to take it seriously, not literally. We call that wake up and spell the chumash for 18-year-olds. When Chazal say that on the pasuk they looked at the matzah, they're not coming to explain what day it was and why he's eating matzah. They're coming to tell the reader, connect this story, because the reason why we have the story of Sdom in Chumash is to understand the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. The Perlok just goes through the house, they stayed by a house, there's Choshech, remember there's Sanferim, there's a Makkah, there's tons. Now, what do we say? Matzah Zuhashuma. That's a pasuk. Isn't that a pasuk we quote? No. In Sefer Dvarim, what does it say? Shivat yamim tochal lav matzot lechmoni. Ki v'chipazon yetzatam mitzrayim. B'matis kol yom tzei koyim echayecha. What do we need to remember? When we remember that God saved us, what do we need to remember? That the first time we weren't ready, but the next time we need to be ready. Lo b'chipazon tzeiof, you know Yeshayahu. And part of the reason for eating matzah is not just to remember that God took us out, but to remember that we weren't ready the first time and be ready the next time. That totally changes how we view matzah. But it makes it meaningful. It makes it not a history. It's not a holiday about the past. It's about the future. It puts on the whole meaning of, not the whole meaning of Pesach, but it puts a whole new light on eating matzah. No.
There was this last one, Kilu Yom,
what?
The Mishnah.
Yeah.
There's this atzma, darshan, you know.
That you should feel like you went out.
See,
are we ready? I think we invite, what do we invite? Don't we invite Eliel to do exactly this? And we say, Shvoch HaMat Chanat, no one quotes it right. Shvoch HaMat Chalagoyim, they stop there. Asher Lo Yiduucha, V'Shimcha Lo Karo. Ledat Et Hashem, V'Dikro B'Shmo. Pick on those, we're making fun of ourselves there. There's a reason why Yirmiyahu quotes it from Tehillim. Now he said, God shall punish the people who don't count your name and don't serve you the right way. And that's why we were kicked out. It's not, it's just pick on the goyim.
In other words, behold of the Dor HaChayva, you have to now repent or repair what they did
wrong and be and no, understand that if you're ready, God's willing to redeem you if you're ready for redemption.
Yeah, right.
Which is the main theme of all the Nevi'im. And that takes Chumash, it switches Pesach from an expression of gratitude to recognition of destiny.
Recognition of what?
Of destiny.
Yes. It's not just the game. Hold over there, a chayev adam. I mean, chayev is a pretty strong word.
Yeah.
The main
chiyuv is not to remember once a year. The main chiyuv is to remember every day. We make a big deal once a year. The main mitzvah is to remember every day. And how do we remember it every day? With what pasuk? That, we're not saying that he took us out, we're saying why he took us out. He took us out, the Odachal Elohim. That's not expression of gratitude, that's recognition of destiny, which is the first dibur, isn't it? And in what context do we say that pasuk? In the context of Kabbalah, Malchut Shamayim, which is tzitzit. The two mitzvot you have every day is Kabbalah, Malchut Shamayim, and remembering the Exodus. And they're connected. Because when you... saying Shema is not knowing that God exists. It's knowing that you're chosen to serve Him. And how you serve Him is by how you treat your fellow man. The two halves of the Ten Commandments. We'll see an example in a minute. And that's why it's so central to davening. Now back to Yecheskel. We're going to get to Gabri's question, which is 10 minutes later. Pasuk it up. Pasuk, start from Pasuk Ted again. Vaslam on Shmi, back in Yecheskel Perachav. לבתי יחל לעיני הגויים אשר הם בתוכם אשר נדעתי אשר נודעתי עליהם עיניהם להוציא מארץ מצרים ויוצא מארץ מצרים ואביא מהם למדבר. We finished stage 1, stage 2 now. We're in the desert. ותן להם את חוקותיי ואת משפטיי הודעתי אותם אשר יעשה אותם אדם לחי בהם. Ring a bell, anybody?
Yeah.
What part is that? ותן להם את חוקותיי ומשפטיי והודעתי אותם אשר יעשה אותם אדם לחי בהם. וגם שפשוטי נתתי להם, ועוד ביני לדעת כי אני שמקדשם. That, you know, that's the end of, that's the middle key tisa. That's right before Vishamru. The Shabbat here, but what's Pasuk Yud Aleph? Where's Asher Yasatam Bachai? Where do you have Chukotai v'mishpatai Asher Yasatam Bachai Bahem? You guys are sleeping? Yom Kippur at Mincha, you're sleeping? It's what we read Yom Kippur at Mincha, isn't it? Isn't Yom Kippur at Mincha? Open up Vayikra Yudchev. There's a reason why we read on the Kippur on the cover. Vayikra Yutet begins a unit of three prakim. Yutet, Yutet, Chav. Which I'm sure you know it's chiastic. There's Arayot, Kedoshim Tiyu, and Arayot. It's a unit. And Perek Yutet begins the second half of Vayikra. Everything up until Perek Yutet. Tiruk Yizayin is about the Mikdash, the Mishkan, and highlights with Avodat Yom Kippur, Tushat Adam, Zman HaMakom, all together. And we change gears in Perek Yutet, and we leave the Mikdash and go to the country, to the Gvulim. Yeah, Perek Yutet in Vayikra? How's it begin? Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Look at the first line. Tell me if it rings a bell. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Daber B'nei Yisrael B'mat Elohim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ring a bell? That's Vayir, isn't it? It's the same opening as Vayir. They know that already. It's the first commandment. Anochi Hashem Elokeichem. Kibasei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Bo Lo Tasu. And now we're in business, aren't we? What's he telling them? I'm your boss, therefore what? Don't act like the Egyptians did. And also, don't follow the ways and the culture of Egypt and Canaan. Not because it's Egypt and Canaan, but because it's decadent. And that's why God's punishing Egypt for their bad behavior. And Chumash emphasizes over and over again, God is punishing Canaan for their bad behavior. We don't wipe out the seven nations of Canaan because they're in our land. It's their land. It's Canaan. Chumash calls it that. God kicks them out because of their bad behavior. And why do we need to know that?
So we shouldn't do it.
So that when we get the land, you know that we don't permit the same thing. Chumash isn't giving us a license to kill anyone who's in our land. Chumash is telling us our responsibility, how we have to act in our land, otherwise we'll get the same thing. That's the first Rashi in Chumash, isn't it? If it's understood properly. Especially if you understand what he's quoting from Yirmiyahu. Because that's when Yirmiyahu, Yom Yirmiyahu quotes the Pasuk, the Pergun Pasuk of Yirmiyahu, where God gives it to Babel and taking away from us. Remember? Now we know that there's something bad about Egyptian behavior, and there's something bad about Canaanite behavior that we can't follow. Okay. What do we do? It said, "Et mishpatai tasu, got it? Isn't that Yecheskel? Okay. That's what he's referring to. Now I have an idea what's so bad about Egypt. Because what's it say next? We have the Arayot, incest, and everything which you know is there. And look at Pasuk Chav Dalet in Vayikra Yudchet. Pasuk Chav Dalet, right? Altit, after all the Arayot. Altit amu b'cho eile. Why? Ki b'cho eile mizmogon asher ni mishalech mitnechem. Vatitba arts v'efkol avonei ala v'tikar se teshveh. V'shmartem atem et chukotayim. לא תעשו מכרות הלבות, כי טוב תעשו אל אל אשר עשו בתים הארץ. בואו להכיר, תתן לי מידה כבר בפור. Now I have a better idea what was so bad about Egypt. The culture was decadent. And it seems that culture, We were part of an Egypt, and we couldn't get rid of it. And that's why Chumash is so adamant about repeating these laws about this type of behavior. Remember here the word Toiva comes up a lot. So in light of that, let's take a look back at Yechezkel. So, in other words, when we get to Har Sinai, we weren't ready the first time around. God has to give us more specific laws to know how to get rid of Egyptian culture. What's bad? Remember? What's it say there? Remember? And then at the end of it. That's the end of Paragraph 10, isn't it? Better be there. Isn't it there? Yeah, I thought it was another, somewhere like that. But definitely, that's something towards the end. But look at the next slide now. So we have Chukot Mishpatim, that's from the Arayot. So we know what they had to get rid of in Egypt. And they also gave him Shabbat as a reminder of Brit Sinai. We'll return that in 1 minute. The Amruvi, Beit Yisrael Bamidbar, what happened? They rebelled against me in the desert and they didn't keep these laws. Is there ever a story about Am Yisrael not keeping Shabbat in the desert?
Yeah.
We have one this week. Yes. Is there an earlier one? We deserve to be destroyed in the desert, not because of Chet Egel and Chet Amraglin, for Chilul Shabbat. I want to bring up a possibility from this week's parsha. What did it say? Who did they find? Bekoshe Shetzin. Who was he? Ish meaning. Not a male, but a something important. And that's the theme to the parsha. Kulam anashim? Mekom she'en anashim shtad al yotish? Ish, somebody important. What was so terrible about what happened? This wasn't just any Joe Shmo. Was it? If someone was an Ish, why is this so important? Why do we have to bring this case to God? Why are we going to actually enforce capital punishment? This isn't just anybody. This is already a fad. And this is a leader doing something like this. If there's an Ish mekom she'en, that's a sign. That's not an isolated incident. That's something that's a sign that the nation's going somewhere. Anshei, remember? Kura Anshei B'nei Yisrael Hema? V'yikah Kor B'nei Yisrael Hema? V'yikah Kor B'nei Yisrael Hema? B'nei Elav? V'yikum B'nei Moshe? V'anashim B'nei Yisrael Hameshim Al Matayim? Not 250 males, but 250 leaders. Finish the Pasuk for me. V'anashim B'nei Yisrael Hameshim Al Matayim? Nisiei Da Purimot Anshei Shem. And there, I think the problem with Mekoshesh isn't just an isolated incident. This is a big shot. And people are being mezuzah on Shabbat, and that's why they have to go and actually enforce capital punishment. Because to enforce capital punishment for Binam Namakum is very difficult. No. But someone mentioned there's. Yeah, Gabriel.
Just a question on Chukim and Mishpatim.
Uh-huh.
Are those words, do they somehow play out and also in Devar when you keep talking about?
Yeah, Chukim, we're going to get a detail. We get Chukim Mishpatim in Vayikra, which is going to be what you can't do and what you need to do. Kloshim Tiyu is going to be the flip side. But those are going to be focusing on individual behavior. You have Chukim Mishpatim in Sefer Devarim, which will focus on national behavior. And remember, this whole unit, it's all from Har Sinai. I'll get the laws of Parsha, Kloshim Tiyu for sure part of Har Sinai, aren't they? You see the Ten Commandments there. But the focus there is on individual behavior. And the focus on what I want to finish the share with is this idea of Shabbat. But there's something basic about Chilul Shabbat here. And to appreciate it, go to Vayikra again, where we have the word Gilulim. Look at the end of the Tochachan Vayikra. I don't want to explain why this is in Yechezkel. Yechezkel's biggest problem, the Tochachan Vayikra, and the end of Vayikra, Perachavav in Vayikra. While you're finding it, Yechezkel has to deal with the problem of exile and Korban HaBayit. And his biggest challenge is to convince the people that when it does happen, they're all being told Hayolotiyah, they're all being told it can't be, it won't be. And he's worried that when it does happen, the people are going to give up hope and dump the religion and say, God left us. Yecheskel has to explain to the people, this we did many times, that don't interpret exile and destruction of the temple as game over, but rather understand it as rehab. You're going into exile for rehab, but don't, God didn't leave you, you left God. And God's putting you into exile to fix your ways. Why does he have to pick this thing? Because Chumash talks exactly about this thing. Look at, sorry, in Pasuk Chav Zayin, in Perek Chav Vav. Chav Zayin. It's perfect, yeah. It's another stage. וישמרתי בנותיכם, ויחרתי את חמוניכם, ונתתי את פגריכם על פגרי גילוליכם, וגל הנשייתכם. I'm sick of all your idol worship, which including במות, which they think they're worshiping God. But hearing the word גילולים, don't it? ונתתי את עריכם חורבה, ואשימותי מקדשיכם, ועודרך ברך מכוכם. Here, Chumash brings up the possibility that can't be חורבן. ואשימותי מקדשיכם. That's Yecheskel, isn't it? That's why Yecheskel has to bring this, because look at the context. והשימותי אני את הארץ ושמו עליה את אוהביכם היושבים בה ואתכם עזרה בגויים והריקותי אחריכם חרב והייתה ארצכם שממה ורחם יהיו חורבן. That's חורבן, that's what's about to happen. Why is Yecheskel to quote from here? And this took him in the Tochai, Yecheskel is going to quote over and over again to the point that every Bible critic will tell you what. Whoever wrote Vayikra, wrote Yecheskel, good old P. You learn that? You see why? They're onto something, but they get it all wrong. They catch on that there's a literary parallel between the two, to the point they think it's the same author. But Yecheskel is bringing in things from Vayikra because he's coming to explain that Vayikra is happening. Now we go to Shabbat. What happened? כל ימי השמה, ואתם בארץ אביכם, אז תשבע את הארץ וברצת את שבתותיה, כל ימי השמה תשבות, אשר לא שבתה בשבתכם בשבתכם עליו. What?
I thought it was a reference to Shemitah.
Exactly, it's Shemitah. Shabbat and Shemitah go hand in hand.
Shemitah Shabbat
Haaretz. Listen, which is what book? It's Vayikra, isn't it? And there's Shabbat at the end, the Shabbat of the Mishkan. The first time, the Shabbat is an old brit, the Shabbat after we build the Mishkan. Remember? Which leads us right into Vayikra. It's in Shmuel, but it's a Vayikra thing. The Shabbat is an old brit. I want to show you the connection between us when we finish the share. It's what's the connection? Why is Shabbat so central to this theme of Chilul Shabbat and breaking the brit and breaking brit Sinai? Why is it so cardinal? The thing we saw is that in order to come out of Egypt, Am Yisrael has to be ready. Correct? When they left Egypt, they weren't ready. They got some quick mitzvot to get the movement. Korban Pesach, okay? It lasts. God does shock treatment. Kriyat Yam Suf. It lasts about a day. Doesn't it? Like in Kippur. Yes. Shock treatment's not enough. How far is it from Egypt to Har Sinai? So it's a 3-day distance. How long does it take us to get there? What? 6 weeks till we get there. Another week till we get to Martel. Why does it take so long? We can't go there till we're ready. We go 3 days in the desert after Kriyat Yam Suf. Water's bitter. We have to learn a lesson with Mara. God brings his text to Palm Springs. Doesn't he? You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Where's Palm Springs?
The
oil. Eilim. What's an Eilim?
An oasis.
How many springs?
120 springs.
There's 12 springs.
There's 120 trees.
And 70 trees. 70 trees. It's not the Knesset, it's Shiva, the 70 nation. Don't you see that's part of their... What's gonna allow the 70 nations to blossom and get fruit? The water. That's Palm Springs, isn't it? Those numbers aren't by chance. 12. You must have realized that, don't you? We have 12 springs to give that enable the 70 nations to give fruit. That's easy training. Now in contrast, open up Perek Tetzayin in Shmot. Shmot Tetzayin. I want to explain why Shabbat is so central. We're not at Har Sinai yet. We're in a training mission. Because we can understand that Hashem. We can believe that God exists. That was what you were talking about.
Yeah. No, the Nisi.
What?
He's done this before.
What?
The Nisi.
The which one? Then the other, but there's more. One second. The what do we do? I get cutting something. Oh yeah. We can't go until we're ready. God has to train us for Mamad Har Sinai. We're not ready yet. The last test is going to be the month. What's the date in the beginning of Perek Tetzayin? We leave Palm Springs and get to Midbar Sin when? In the beginning of Perek Tetzayin in Shmuel. The 15th of Iyar. Remember the date, 15th of Iyar. We run out of food. The people complain. God knows they're going to complain. Look in Pasuk Daled. What's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Hinei mamtir lechem, have it, Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Daled. In Shmuel. Hinei mamtir lechem, lechem min ha-shamayim, that's where bracha comes from. Of lechem min ha-aretz, it's the flip side. V'laftu am dvar yom v'yomo. Why? L'man anaseno ha-yirech v'torati imlo. I need an experience, not a miracle one, and not a Shabbaton. I need a day-to-day experience. I need a routine to test them, not to test them, but to get them ready. An isoyan, not a mishpan. An isoyan is an experience you go through that makes you who you are. Like Hashem Nisat Abraham. In order to be ready for Mamad Har Sinai, to see if they're ready, you have to go through the nisayon of the man. Now the man comes with two commandments, doesn't it? What are the two commandments that come with the man?
Take what you need.
Double on Friday.
And then on Shabbat. There's an element, and that's how they find out about Shabbat. They never heard about Shabbat yet, doesn't it? Remember? Nothing falls, double on Friday. What's Moshe telling? Hey guys, now you know what Shabbos is. We teach Shabbos through experience. If you were staff in camp, we can have a whole thing about Chinuch in camp. Understand? It's a great example. The way you teach concepts is through experience, through a pull-up. That's what happens in the desert. There's another law that comes with it, which is how much can you take?
Just what you need.
As much as you need and as much as you want. That's Omer Lago Golan. And how much does an Omer weigh? Everyone knows that by heart. An Omer is a measure. The last line, now, the proof that an Omer is a measure is so weird, it's so unheard of, that what's the last line of the parak? The editor, I won't say the editor. Has to tell the reader what? What's an omer? Because no one knows what an omer is. What's an omer? An omer is an Asir Ta'ifah. It's a parenthetical footnote at the end of the story. Because no one knows what an omer is. But how much? There's another name in the metric system for an omer. If an omer is an Asir Ta'ifah, what do we call it in the metric system? In the Hebrew metric system. You know it by heart. You said it in davening yesterday. What do you call a tenth of an eifah?
Asirina.
And it's our own. Ubi yom ha-shabbat, shnei chvasim, u'shnei yisroonim shol domincha. Ubi roshei chod shechem, shosha asroonim nofar, yisroon ha-kebes. You know by heart. All through Chumash, Yisroon is the name for a tenth of an eifah. It's a measure. And now, how much could they take? You can take as much as you need. Now that's a law not only of faith, that's a law of chafetz. That's society, isn't it? That's no hoarding. That's a nation of slaves that has to be trained, no hoarding. You're about to represent God, you have to go to Har Sinai, you have to know how to care about somebody else. It's the most basic law about thinking that other people exist. And those two mitzvot train us for Har Sinai. Do they pass the test right away or not?
No.
They take more than they need, and God teaches them, it gets sour. They go on Shabbat, and they learn the hard way. The first Shabbat they fail. What's the date? First Shabbat is what day?
This is the 22nd.
22nd, okay? I'm assuming after they failed the first Shabbat, the next Shabbat they learned the lesson. So they kept. The next Shabbat?
29th.
The 29th they kept. Yeah. The first Shabbat they kept was the 29th. Oh. What's the next Shabbat?
Shavuot.
There's a medrash like that, isn't there? The Am Yisrael keeps two Shabbatot. Uh-huh. Got it?
When?
That's what happened in the desert. Now, to train, but Shabbat, keeping Shabbat is part of the routine that gets you ready for Mamad Har Sinai. It's critical. And remember, J&D. Remember the machloket between Shabbat, between Dvarim and Shmot? It's not an editor's mistake. You follow? What's happening? The same commandment has two different reasons. What's the reason for Shabbat and Shmot? It's vertical, isn't it? To know that God, it's a vertical one. Okay? What's the reason in Dvarim?
So far. No,
it's horizontal. It's the same mitzvah. Where else is there a mitzvah that you have? It's for God and it's for the poor people. Shemitah. Shabbat Hashem. There's so many mitzvot that are both vertical and horizontal at the same time. Maser Sheni, 2 years, go to God. You got it? And the next year Maser Ani, the same thing. Chumash is making the Ten Commandments, half and half. Aren't they? Because the way we serve God is by how we treat our fellow man. And when you believe that man's created B'Tselem Elohim, treating your fellow man is like treating God. If you don't respect your fellow man, it's a pigyan, a kadosh baruch hu, if you believe B'Tselem Elohim. Now, to prepare for the man, the Shabbat experience, right? And both sides of it, the vertical and horizontal side, are critical for Shabbat. Now, that's the word omer. It's so important that what do we do with the Tzinsenet Haman? Guess how much is in the Tzinsenet Haman? How much is in it? An omer, of course it's an omer, by a modable omer. It's mudgash, and the word leket all the way through. Amen? And they put it where?
In a jar.
Next to the Eidut. Bifnei Hashem. Which tells you there's a connection between the Omer and Matan Torah. You can't miss it, right? Because we need a reminder that to prepare for Matan Torah, you have to pass the test of Naman, which is Shabbat and Tzedek Hebrati. And that's why it's so basic to being Jewish. And that's why if you break Shabbat, you're Mechalel Shabbat. You're Chayav Karet. It's basic to the covenant. That's why God can keep Shabbat, because it's our sign of the Brit. Now, the next time you find Omer and Chumash is when? Everything else is Yisaron. All the Rishmak is in Yisaron, all the Korbanot. Parshat Emor, what happens? We celebrate Passover coming out of Egypt, and we have a strange law. The day after Passover, Melchat Ha, why do we call the holiday Shabbat now? Because the whole theme is Shabbat. It had nothing to do with Stukim and... The whole theme is Shabbat, isn't it? And what do we do? We do bring what?
Bring an Omer.
Why an Omer? And we wave it like an Oscar, or like a Stanley Cup, don't we? We do Tnufa like it's the most important thing. Why an Omer? Because we're about to harvest our fields, it's the harvest season. We have to remember when we're harvesting ours, so we don't get to Kol Chivat Semyadi, we have to be considerate, because that's what Maman Har Sinai is about. And then we count the days, we count 7 weeks, till when? Till Shavuot. And don't tell me Shavuot isn't related to Matan Torah. Okay, follow? It's there, isn't it? If we have Omer, if Omer gets us ready for Matan Torah, and then we count 7 weeks from Pesach, Chumash alludes to it. But you have to, but that's Shavuot. And as soon as we define Shavuot in Perachav Gimel, remember? Mikra Kodesh Elechem, what little line did they throw in there? We copy paste from Parashat Yoshim to you. Every Bakori knows it because they get mixed up. V'kutzachem v'kisaratzachem. And what do we read on Shavuot? There's a whole Megillah about it, isn't there? And guess where we find the word Omer one more time? That's about it. In Nevin, that's it. Omerim, Perek Bet, twice. There's one other time in Chumash. In Chavdalad in Dvarim, Ki Tiksork Secha B'Sadecha. This is the commandment for husbands. There's a commandment to forget. Isn't there? What does it say? V'shachachta Omer basadeh v'toshuv l'chachta l'geret atom. And then remember, you were slave Eugene. Remember? It's a theme we don't have time for, but that's the theme throughout the word. But the again in Eov there's a pasuk Revim Nasu Omer. Every time you have the word Omer, it's always in the context of a ration, the minimal thing. I want to prove, though, remember, there's a thing of Shemitah at the end? Remember, we go down, remember, we have to kind of make up for the Shemitah thing? Mine in Shemitah is Har Sinai. Whose question was that? What's the source of the question? When Chumash introduces laws of Shemitah in what book?
In Bahar,
which concludes the Chukimish, the last line of the Tochacha. The last line of Bahar is what? Elaha, Chukim v'Mishpatim v'Torot. V'Mishpatim, that's the last line closes up Perek Yudchet. It's going on from Perek Yudchet to Bahar is one big unit. It's easy to prove, and it's an application of Ten Commandments. Remember, at the end of Bahar, you have the Ten Commandments, the first four. Shabtatay Tishmor V'Kishit Tero and Yashem. You have that whole unit at the end. But for some reason, even though all the laws were given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai, there's one law. And only one law, which is introduced by Dabar Hashem and Moshe, Bahar Sinai Limor. All the other laws say by Dabar Hashem and Moshe Limor. What does everyone ask? Why do we mention Har Sinai, Dafka by Shemitah? Means what's the assumption? There must be some intrinsic connection between Har Sinai and Shemitah. What's the connection? What do we do at the end of the Shemitah year? We relive Maman Har Sinai, don't we? Hakel, don't we? If we're looking for a commandment, where do we actually relive Maman Har Sinai? It's in Hakel. And Hakel is when? The Mo'ech Shnat HaShemitah B'Chag HaSukkot. If Chazal understand right on the mark, it's at the end of the Shemitah cycle. If we're going to relive Mamad Har Sinai and do it right, what should we do? If we could do it Mahadran, what would we do? Where would we go? Go back to the desert. And what would we eat beforehand?
Man.
And how much would we take?
An omer.
Right? And how much? And we keep Shabbat? We do some theme of Shabbat and a theme of omer. Now, you can't. If we would leave our land and go there, someone else might take it over. Right? So what are we going to do? How do we turn the land of Israel into the desert without leaving it?
By not working.
Shemitah. Uh-huh. You follow? Shemitah prepares us for Mamad Har Sinai every 7 years. Because during Shemitah, what do we eat? Vaitar Shabbat Ha'atachem L'Ochla. You're supposed to eat the produce of the land. But how much do you eat? There's enough for everybody, isn't there? There's, because what do you eat? Everything grows. There's plenty for everybody. You don't build new things, but there's plenty growing. You can't make money on it that year. And guess what the laws of Shemitah are? How much can you take during Shemitah year? Want to take a wild guess?
What you need.
No, I didn't say Omer, but as much as you need. Because we don't use that as a measure anymore. But you can take as much as you need, and you can't take as much as you want. And let's say, I think in Shemot it says, what's it say in Shemot? She shanim tizar tzecha, v'shem shanim tzecha, v'chal tetvota, v'shvit, v'shmetem tashta, finish it for me, v'yachlu avyonei amecha. Perfect? Let's say there's enough food for all the avyonim. What do we do with the rest? V'itram tochal, who? Chayat ha-sadeh. Why? Because the main thing is you, it's it. You can't have more. Even it's not just to feed the poor. No one. It's coming for 1 year. It's total equality, and no one can take more. It's not just to feed the poor, because once the poor are fed, they're still. It's only everyone can only take as much as they need. Understand? After the poor are fed. But what am I doing by Shemitah? By Shemitah, I'm reliving the desert experience in preparation every 7 years for Mamad Har Sinai. And now, and that's the obvious connection between Har Sinai and Shemitah. So that's which fits right. And remember, Emor would have Omer, and Emor goes right into. Remember the second half of Vayikra, that whole theme of Kushat Adam Zman and Makom. So don't fit together. Now, when Yechezkel says the Shabtadei Chiluv Midbar, it's not just Chiluv Shabbat is one of Tanaic Mitzvot. Shabbat's central to Mamad Har Sinai. What's going to happen? What's going to be the reason for the Korban? And that we have to finish with. What we see in every single share with that Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, what are they always complaining about?
Okay. Not caring.
Yeah. Now, go back. Look at the rest of this parak. Look at the rest of the parak. Look at the sing song that goes on. Okay? Look at the sing song that goes on. Okay? Here. Pasuk Tedvav. וגם אני נסעתי ידי להם במדבר ואותי אביא אותם מארץ אשר נתתי לזה לכל ודבש וכלי ים משפטי מעשו וכתי לא הלכו סי פסק תזיין רדע לזה תוכחה remember תל תוכח בין אם כתי תלכו אם כתי תמעשו כן again פסק תזיין בפרק חף ונכנס גם ים משפטי מעשו ותחוקתי לא הלכו בהם ואת שבתותי חיללו כי אחרי גילו להם ליבם הולך ותחס אני עליהם משחתם ולא עשית אותם כל במדבר ושולה בין ברדדת ואמר אבניהם במדבר, בחוקי אבותיכם, לא, אל תלכו. Don't learn from your parents' way, fix your ways. שווה אל תמרו, בגלל מה תתאמרו. אני אשר בלכיכם, remember? The first commandment, תלכו, נשפטי שימרו ועשו אותם. אף שתתאי, קדשו, got it? והיה עוד, דיו ביניכם, לא יודע, כי אני אשר מקדש, אני אלך אשר מלכיכם. והם רובי הבנים, ותאי לא הלכו, גם the second generation had their troubles. ושמרו אותם, עשו אותם לאדם וחי בהם, ושתי חילולו, ואמר לשפוח המתיר להם, וכלו תביאו במדבר. Even the second generation wanted to think. והשיבות ידי באסלמן שמיד ואותי אחר להם מהגויים אשר הוצאת אותם מעיניהם. המסכים בדרכיו גמו, גם אני נסעתי ידי להם במדבר. What's this להפיץ אותם בגויים? In the desert, in Parshat Bechukotai, he's referring here to Parshat Bechukotai, all the Parshat explained. He's referring here to Parshat Bechukotai, where did I warn them in the desert, in the Tochacha? Then what would I do? אני אפיץ אותם בגויים, that's the pasuk to be read. ואתכם לזרע בגויים. It's the same word, זרות אותם בארצות. ים משפטי לא עשו, מתי מה עשו? ושתי חילו, אחרי גילים, אתם היו... היו עיניהם. יחזקאל's following, the תוכן, in ויקרא. Then he goes on, which I have time to go into. But skip to למד אלף, we have closure. למד אלף, it's on the source sheet, it's the next thing, but למד אלף in התנ"ך. ובשם בדרכם, באוויר ביניכם, באש, נתמתם בכל גיליכם עד היום. ואני אדורש לכם בית ישראל. Now we got the answer. After all this, and after all things you've been doing wrong, you've been halal Shabbat and following the other gods, and not worshiping me the right way, I'm going to go and what? And answer you? Chayaninu Mashem Yimidoresh Lechem. That's why he's swearing. That's why Pshat is, I'm not going to answer your prayer. God's saying, I can't answer. You want to come back and return? You want things to be better? You didn't fix your ways. How can I possibly? You have to learn the hard way. Now that I'm kicking you out, you think it's okay to worship other gods? Don't even think about that. What am I doing to you? God's going to punish you harshly by taking you out, and he's going to say, "What the same thing I'm doing to you now is what I did to your forefathers in Egypt and in the desert." He's got to put you through boot camp and work you hard. This is the Lamed Hey. Look at the analogy. They beat it from where? And Midbar Amim. What's replacing the Midbar, which was our testing ground coming out of Egypt? Midbar Amim, that's exile. V'nishpatati itchem sham. Ishata itchem? Itchem, Num Hashem. V'avati itchem b'tachat ha-shavet. V'avati itchem b'mesorot ha-brit. V'vroti b'kem, it's going to choose you out. O ha-mordi v'aposhimi, meretz m'goriyem utzi otam. V'admati so lo yavo, v'idatem ken Hashem. I'll punish all the wicked and only save those who are worthy. V'atem b'ti so kom Hashem. You bring your covenant only when I bring you back to the land of Israel, not in Chutz Laaretz. And then the famous ending, Pasuk Mem Bet, skip to Vidatem Ki Ani Hashem Bavi Etchem El Mat Yisrael Al Haaretz Asher Nesati Et Yadi Latet Otah Rabotechem Veshchatem Sham Et Darchechem Bet Alulotechem Asher Yimetem Bam Venakotem Bifneichem Kol Avkam Asher Asitem Vidatem Ki Ani Hashem Basuti Etchem Laman Shmi. Why am I putting you into exile? You have to learn. You have to sit in the corner to learn your lesson. I got to punish you hard. You only learn the hard way. If I just save you now, you'll never get the message. And I was hoping to give you another chance, but I did that already. God says he has to explain why the Korban is coming again, but not to understand it is over, because in what's it say afterwards? What's the next thing in B'chukutai after I'm going to spread you out? What's special about it? It ends with, remember the Valkori changes modes? V'zachati priti. I called and I'm going to bring you back. Because that's Yechezkel's main message. Understand why they're being punished, but not to give up. Remember, we talk about it all the time. He's in this tension between, I have to yell at you so you know what's wrong, but not to the point that you give up everything. That was when you yell at a kid, you have to yell at him to learn his lesson, but not so he doesn't run away from home. Yeah.
What is this entire connection? Something peculiar to Yechezkel, or are you claiming that it's...
So I was going to say that in the introduction. Is Yechezkel passing on a tradition, or is he a parshan? You follow? Whenever the Nevi'im bring up topics from Chumash, is this their parshanut on Chumash, or is this a tradition, a mesorah that they had, that we don't have, but the Nevi'im had?
Yeah.
But he's saying, I think Chazal say it was a nevuah kfusha.
Is it something required of a Nevi?
That's the question. Did the Nevi know this? Was this known knowledge? Everyone knew. It wasn't in Chumash, but everyone knew it. It was like a Torah Shema Peh, how bad we were in Egypt. It's alluded to in Chumash, and we have it in Chazal. But the question is Yechezkel saying it based on his understanding of Chumash, or Yechezkel had it in the Masoret? I think it's a Masoret that they had. I mean, he's still a Nevi.
He's a commentator.
Yeah, yeah. But there's no doubt that the Nevi'im are also Parshanim of Chumash. Look at Yishayel. Yishayel is a Parshan of Chumash. It's everywhere.
But the question still sits then. Is it because that's the tool they're using? Or is it something that is part and parcel of
being a Nevi?
It's a halakha, yeah. Nevuah.
That's a good thing. I'll leave that as a question. I don't know. But it's something to think about. Yeah.
This is Briskerville.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll stop here. I'll take a question real quick.
Yishar Koach for a beautiful analysis. Another connection between Vayikra and Yechezkel. The main thrust in Vayikra is the profane and the sacred, Kadosh v'Tameh. Yechezkel as a Kohen is connected to Torah Kohanim. And also the focus is on Tumat Haaretz and Girulim, the same operative words. Now the Shabbat comes into the context that there is the connection between the profane and the sacred, not only in space, in geography, time, but also in time. And that's what Yechezkel and
Okay, I have to go, but we have to. I think it's a Perek Yutchet. You have a Perek Yutchet. You see, it's the same. It's going to be. Take a look. Perek Yutchet parallels Perek Chav, and then they go together. Yeah.